Today, I finish watching Dogs, Marcus enters the world of Skyrim, and then we discuss Bethesda's weird review policy and ask what informs your purchase decisions. All that and more on this week's episode of Trust Circle. Hello, and welcome back.
Very enthusiastic.
Yes, to another episode of Trust Circle.
You're like Donald at the beginning of the third debate.
Top Shelf Gaming's number one and only podcast, where every week we talk about games and hopefully make them interesting to gamers and non-gamers alike.
What is this, NPR?
I am your host.
Late night NPR.
Are we here recording?
I am your host, Devin Valdivia. Here is my inside-outside voice, my inside-out voice. I am joined this week, as always, by my wife, Valerie.
Hi. This is my really inside voice.
That probably actually didn't get picked up by the mic.
Maybe it did.
The waveform is so small.
It's so small.
We'll never know.
She's a ghost.
She's a ghost.
Welcome to the spooky episode.
Welcome to the trust.
This is our Halloween episode.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
it'll air,
first
it'll
holiday.
Air after Halloween.
Let's
yeah.
do it. We made
yeah.
our first holiday. Marcus is here too.
I am here too.
Hi, Marcus.
Wait, Marcus the Stutterer. That's your official title.
Marcus.
Your request. I don't mean it's clear. This is not me ragging on you. Your request is that I mention that you stutter.
I've never said such a...
Devin doesn't define everyone by their disability. Only some people.
Just when they ask me to. This is Trust Circle. Welcome back, episode 9.
I've never stuttered it in my life.
Life?
Okay. All right, Sass Fresh.
What's that, blindy? What's that?
Yeah. I'm blind, you're crippled,
what's
Marcus
that, what's
stutters.
That, blind hombre?
I'm a blind hombre.
I'm a blind hombre.
So, this week's gonna go really good, because...
So good.
The last 2 weeks we've had guests, and so we've had to actually act like semi-responsible human being adults. This week, not the case. It's just three of us, and we...
And all gloves are off.
Just au naturel.
Or in Valerie's case, glove.
Is it fair to say the three of us have all had pretty long weeks?
Yes.
Fairly long.
We are recording this a few days earlier than we normally do. And it's Friday afternoon. We all just got off work. And boy, I have never been more ready for a weekend than I have been in some time.
Yeah.
But we're here. We're going to talk about some stuff.
We're here for you.
We're here for you.
Doing
the
this
podcast
for you, listener.
Where else would we be? I don't know. We're here. So before we get started, recapping our weeks, I have a really, really exciting thing to share with you. And this is a song. And you would think, if you know the three of us, two of us are musicians. But the person singing in the song is not one of those two. So please enjoy.
What's that phrase? What's it mean? It's time for the word of the week.
Yay.
How do you feel? This is your big debut. What's your stage name?
Stage name is Glitter Horse.
Glitter Horse. That's like a cam name.
Oh, wow.
Well, you don't know if I branched out or
different
not.
Different kind of stage, you know what I mean?
Different stage. Yeah, you do have your camera on your iMac taped up right now.
Thanks, Black Mirror. Black Mirror made me do that.
Yeah. Well, so I guess we should probably get into that section, because it is, as you all now know, time for Word of the Week.
Word of the Week.
So, Valerie, being our resident non-gamer, you get a trump card every single week.
Don't say
week.
That word.
You get a special card.
There we go.
Every single week, where if me and Marcus get too in the weeds about something or there's a phrase you don't know, you get to say a word and we'll shut up and let you do it. So this week, seeing as it is spooky times here at Trust Circle, pick a Halloween-themed spooky word.
I will say pumpkins.
Pumpkins.
Oh my gosh.
Pumpkins are scary because I carried two of them up the stairs of our apartment and they are a lot heavier than you think they are. It's really scary. I was like, my arms are really tired.
I picked them up when you got to the door, and they were about as heavy as I expected them to be.
They're heavy!
That's the scariest thing you could have
They're heavy,
up.
I'm
then,
shaking in my
And
boots.
Then you're like, I'm going to carve a jack-o'-lantern. This is going to be great. And then it takes about two more hours than you expect it to, because you have to like saw through all that
the
hard pumpkin flesh. And then you end up with all the pumpkin guts. You're like, what do I do with these?
These sound like inconveniences.
These are not fears. Very minor.
Gather around the fire and hear a tale of carrying pumpkins up the stairs.
No, I can't take it. Please, I'm just a boy.
All right. So if you hear the word pumpkins, that means me and Marcus are going to shut up and explain something, or Valerie just going to
shut up and explain something, and then immediately talk again.
I expect to be explaining this with charades.
Yes.
And or miming.
It'll grow over really well.
Yeah.
Over the air. So let's recap our weeks. I'm going to just hijack the first slot because mine's probably the most boring thing.
I mean, isn't it always?
So this week I finished playing Watch Dogs the First, a video game, in preparation for Watch Dogs the Second, which comes out in like 2 weeks.
It's pretty close.
It's pretty close, yeah. And I'm really excited.
I feel like you've been talking about Watch Dogs 2 for like 85 days.
I have. If you were here for our conversation about open world games, Watch Dogs 2, as you would then know, is an open world game.
Did that one come out? Was that
It was a for real one.
Yeah, it was.
We did it for real. It takes place in San Francisco, and you're a hacker boy doing cool, fun, millennial hacker stuff, and I still think the story is going to be silly. It looks fun, so I've played the first one, finished it. Man, that main character is a bummer.
What? No, he's not. He's me.
No. Watch Dogs 1.
Oh, Watch Dogs 1. No, not
Black Marcus.
Okay.
Black Marcus is great.
He's way better than White
Marcus. We're talking about... Wait. Isn't Marcus the name of the character?
No, the second one is Marcus, yes, but this Marcus is also black.
So they're both, so...
You could just say Marcus.
So we're just Marcus.
You're just Marcuses?
So the main character here is White Aiden Pierce.
Yeah.
See? Hey, that's equalizing. If you just said Aiden Pierce, maybe we'd assume he's white, because we're
Well, you'd assume he's white because he's a video game protagonist.
Yeah, he's a boring boy with a stubble on his beard and a troubled backstory.
You're just a monster in this game. Like, you're a bad guy. Like,
you kill things.
And you just... Yeah, so I finished it. Marcus, you and I both liked that game.
Yeah.
Despite the terrible main
character. So many people hated it. I don't know. I love that game.
I think it all goes back to just the whole, like, graphics downgrading thing from the reviews.
It was the expectations.
But once you get over that, one, the game still looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fun game.
Yeah.
Watch Dogs 2 is going to be a lot better, I really hope. We'll find out in a few weeks. That's kind of all I did video game related. I played some Overwatch Dogs.
Overwatch Dogs.
Still have not got my Mercy skin. I'm running out of days. Me and Valerie are going to visit my parents this weekend. I'm bringing my PS4 because I gotta grind out some more loot boxes.
Freaking packing it up.
And just do what I did and pay for loot boxes.
I bought 10.
Then regret it immediately after.
Yeah,
see that, the high was so fleeting.
Yeah, it was. Well... I mean, I don't want to get back into this, but I accidentally bought 20 more boxes more because I didn't get my confirmation email, so I thought it didn't go through, so I bought 20 more than I thought.
Just a little tie to the kind folks at Blizzard. Yes, yeah. The folks at Blizzard.
All the folks.
I mean, so something like that with a good game, like, there's that feeling of like, oh, darn money, but then also like, oh, well, okay, fine, take the money, you did a good thing.
Yeah, well, the way that I've been thinking about it is that before Overwatch, I was really into Destiny, and then, like, every 3-4 months, there would be a new expansion,
mm-hmm.
and I would pay $30 for that. I consider these events, they're just expansions that I'm willing to pay for. It's just, like, continuing this life cycle, and I know I could still continue, like, not actually paying for it,
mm-hmm.
but... How much time I put in, like, I'm going to throw these guys, you know, like I have no problem throwing them some cash for...
Blizzard, you're done, made a good game.
Yeah, somehow.
So, but Marcus, this week, you've done more than play Overwatch.
Yeah.
In fact, you, not 3 hours ago,
like,
got a brand new video game.
Like... If it were up to me, I wouldn't be here right now.
Marks made that clear.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit hurt by that fact.
So,
Skyrim, and by new game, I mean like a 5-year-old game.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So, Skyrim came in, and Skyrim Special Edition Remastered, whatever. And I've wanted this game for a really, really long time, because basically, this game... is supposed to hold me off until Zelda comes, and I would say Skyrim is like
better. Yeah,
one of my get out of here. It's one of my top three favorite games. It would go Wind Waker, either and maybe tied for second place with would be Skyrim and Psychonauts, and those are like, and then Overwatch now. And so I'm a very, very happy boy that I got to get this game back.
Yeah, so you've played all of like half an hour of it. So just walk us through your adventure so far.
I got to Whiterun.
There you go.
Yeah.
Pumpkins, what's that?
It's the first big city in Skyrim that has like guards protecting it. And you have to like go in and it's... Oh man, the game is pretty. Like, it still looks old, but I think mostly in the animation department.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't think they did anything with the animations.
Yeah. So you can see its age, but I got into Whiterun, and it's this big city, and you know, Nordic architecture and big fountains and, you know, river running
a river runs through it.
And then, like, cobblestones and then this giant castle. And as I walk in, you see in the background, there's just all these, like, snowy mountains with fog and just dense. And it just looks so pretty. And, I mean, there's some moments where you can see that this is the better looking version and that it really is upgraded. You know, it came out originally on the previous consoles, Xbox 360 and PS3 and PC. The previous consoles, as good as it looked at the time, this is definitely an upgrade and I appreciate it and I'm having a lot of fun and I want to go home and play. So, actually, I'm going to tap out.
I'm just going to do it for episode 9.
Marcus is
going to
bounce.
Am I done here? You?
We'll just bicker.
It takes two, right?
If only us are on the podcast, it'll be called bickering.
Yeah.
Between husband and wife.
The bicker circle.
Bicker line.
We have plenty of content, though.
Yeah.
Womp, womp.
This week, dishes.
Too real.
Speaking of which, never mind.
Speaking of which,
just roommates, you know.
Roommates,
no
messy roommates.
Roommate stuff,
messy roommates.
You still have that dog around?
Yeah, so we still have that dog. I don't want this dog.
Shh. What if she's listening to the podcast?
They have really good ears.
She knows.
I'm sure he knows. You've had the talk.
Yeah.
You've DTR'd.
Yeah.
What? Down the rabbit hole.
You've never heard this?
Wait.
Oh God. Okay. You've.
Nope.
Dished the rug.
You have one of those words right.
You've dished the...
And it's not dished.
It's not? You've... The rug? Oh, no, if it does, right? Does the word that's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Gosh. Okay. You've... DTR. You've...
Wow.
Done the...
This isn't even, like, millennial lingo. This is just, like...
I've, like, literally never heard this before. You've...
At one point,
yeah.
This happened with the both of you.
Between the two of us. We had a DTR.
A downtrodden rodent.
It's like roadkill.
We saw a rat cross the street.
A dagnabbit rangers?
I assume
do not reach.
DNR.
That's how my people die. Oh.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, I haven't... I just did like three... DNRs.
Do not resuscitate.
Do not resuscitate.
DTR. So, Valerie.
Pumpkin.
Pumpkin!
There you go. Define the relationship.
Oh. Wait, what were you even talking about that you used DTR?
Oh, me and the dog.
Okay.
Yeah, the DTR.
Yeah.
To know where they stand.
Oh.
Well, speaking of Skyrim, so I've known this is coming out for a while, and I have Skyrim on my 360, had it for years. I have one of the expansions that I've barely touched, but I really just want to hold out until I get my hands on the PS4 version too, because like it exists, it's here, And I suspect it'll probably reduce in price fairly quickly because it is a remake.
Because it's fine.
We'll see. It is also Skyrim, so who knows? It could say 60 for.
If it starts selling a lot, then it'll probably stay up.
No, I mean,
it's probably already like
Call of Duty two cycles ago are still selling for full price, so it just depends on sales.
Yeah.
But no, I'm excited to hear more of your adventures in Tamriel, and yeah, Skyrim is one of those games that deserves to be carried forward through the generations.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think every game that gets a remaster necessarily should have had one. This is one that deserves it.
Yeah. I agree.
So, Valerie,
mm-hmm.
How was your week? How you doing?
It was good. I have, in a paper bag, about 2 feet away from me, the Color Me Mine things, the marks that I painted, and he won't let me see them until we finish the podcast.
Oh, no, I was going to have a reveal on the show.
A live reveal.
Oh,
live.
I wasn't
going to
make you wait
a
full hour.
I'm like on Tetrix over here.
He's not like a grumpy dad.
Yeah.
Fun fact though, when I was young, the.
What did that remind you of?
Because let me get to my anecdote. Because when I was, I think when I was like five, the chief, you know, when I was disciplined was. My stuffed animals would be put on top of the fridge.
Aww.
If I had done
insight,
a bad.
But out of reach.
Oh, so
and
cute.
And I was like, no!
And
I repent.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'll be good.
Well, so I've seen some grainy cell phone pictures of what you two made.
And they weren't killed yet.
Yeah, because
they weren't killed.
The colors get more vibrant.
So I am very excited to see these things, so I would really love to just
They're
going to
be pretty choice.
I mean,
choice.
One of them is...
Oh my gosh, do you hear those sounds? It's like Radiolab. Sound effects.
Yeah, but this is real.
Right.
Oh my gosh. This, judging by the size of this, this is Marcus's masterpiece.
Should I?
Nope. It's mine! Okay. Apparently I overestimated the size.
We should have opened mine first, because mine's just gonna look sad.
Look how toot it is! So this is, I painted a little Ganymede. Oops. Sorry, Ganymede.
You're making all kinds of noise.
You're in the way. Move your butt, Ganymede. It's got like a little divot in his back, so you can put a candle in there.
I'm gonna pumpkin for the audience. Ganymede is the bird that belongs to the character Bastion in Overwatch. Very good, Devin.
Great Bastion impression.
So this is extremely beautiful. Actually, he took. The guy at Color Me Mine, which is this ceramics painting shop, he started taking mine out, and I immediately put mine back. I'm like, I don't want to see this, but I'm gonna open it. You can see it. So I made May from Overwatch. I gave her
Overwatch themed party. You guys,
yeah,
I gave her the persimmon
bomb.
Orange outfit.
Because Marcus loves orange. There you go. As we all know.
Oh, he looks so pretty.
Would you say?
Aww.
That could have gone better.
She's precious.
That's actually adorable.
It's actually really cute. And so Marcus based this little May off of the Supergirl figurine shape. And this little Supergirl has like a medallion headband. So Marcus made the little medallion.
Into Snowball,
mm-hmm.
which is her little companion
goes
on her back.
May's signature cape.
Yeah.
It's just her collar, but like longer and flatter.
It's like, yeah, because it's in the dead of winter,
mm-hmm.
and she needed to, you know, have a thicker mm-hmm. thing.
This is pretty funny.
So yeah.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
That's my May.
That's your May.
She's my girl.
She's your lady.
My homie.
Well, I have, I didn't make anything.
Yeah, you weren't invited.
I wasn't invited.
We really weren't.
You weren't.
Devin just...
I just sat here all alone, like, oh, where's my wife? I'll hang out with, like, my friends.
I only see you the majority of my life. I can hang out with Marcus.
I know where both of you live.
Legit. You've never been to where I live.
Actually, I want to know your address.
Oh, yeah, you do.
I know where you live.
We've never been there when you're awake.
Yeah. That you know of.
Yeah, well, have fun getting past my guard dog.
I'll just be like, don't worry. I know where you guys stand. It's okay.
DTR.
DTR. Actually, she would be the worst guard dog. She just looks at you and just looks sad.
That's the whole thing. Like, everyone's like, oh, I got a German Shepherd, or I got, like, a pit bull. It's like, okay, cool, but, like, have you trained to be a guard dog? Because if you haven't, like, it's just going to be a puppy.
We had a German Shepherd growing up, and she was naturally bitey. We could never train that out of her. But then, when she stayed in the backyard, we had to get a little plaque. And by had, I mean my dad got this because he's a smart dude. We got a little plaque that said, warning, guard dog takes job seriously. Because then, apparently, a thief who gets bit by your dog can then sue you. So that was our little litigation protection that we had to put on our fence.
What?
Our little liability.
Yeah.
Isn't that dumb?
That's dumb.
Yeah. Anyway, her name was Xena.
Was she a warrior princess?
What do you think?
Warrior dog's dog.
Warrior puppy.
So anyway, so right after this, Valerie and I were going up to visit my parents and to see my awesome nephew Mason.
Little Mason.
What's Marcus? I don't know if you've actually seen Mason's awesome fall art here.
You made this.
No, an 18-month child made.
Not a 26-year-old man. A baby made those.
I was very proud of them.
Here, we have some ghosties made with cotton balls.
Ooh,
and then so we cute. Have a little autumn tree made with tiny handprints dipped in paint. All out of construction paper that is very unwillingly stained on the wall with masking tape.
We're going to see him. I haven't seen him in about 2 months.
He's the most photogenic baby. Hey, in the podcast art, can you put a picture of Mason in his Halloween costume, whatever he is? I'm thinking Bumblebee, right?
I should know what he is. I've seen a picture of it even, but I forget. Sorry, Alyssa.
A little pirate?
Last year he was a little spider. And my sister, my brother-in-law, they had black shirts and they were the web.
And that was back when he was just a little smush. Yes. So
they just stick one with the front backpack thing and his little legs and just a little spider. It's awesome.
That's adorable.
So we're going to hang out with them. Very looking forward to that. But that'll all be next week's talk.
Yeah, first we've got to finish the podcast.
For now, let's take a break. And when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit more about video games. Back. I don't know what Marcus is using for the break this week, but you do, so hope you enjoyed it.
We don't have any licensed music, so...
Well, clearly we have proven ourselves as accomplished recording artists.
What about free stock music? You get some, like, canned laughter.
No, I mean...
Just use some Apple loops?
I mean...
Just a laugh track.
I could do some Apple loops.
There you go.
I'm not doing that this show.
I get some Fruit Loops right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's making me real hungry for cereal.
Well, moving along to our topic of the week.
Topic of the week.
So our topic of the week, our question. See, we're still transferring over the whole thing. The question of the week.
Do we need a jingle for the...
Here we go.
Oh, no. We're doing it
live on camera.
This doesn't need one. We can stop this right now.
All right,
please.
That's the jingle. It's just that strong.
Yeah.
So our question this week is, what informs your media purchases? And I want to start, like we do, with video games. And the reason I want to talk about this week is because...
You've been a bad boy.
I've been a bad boy. A major video game publisher, Bethesda, who is the publisher behind Mark's very own Skyrim. They released a statement this week, about how they're going to be handling...
live report! Breaking news! We're getting this right now! Time for...
Nope. So this week, Bethesda made an announcement about how they're going to be handling giving review copies to media outlets and just other entities on YouTube or other just sites in general that cover games. And so I'm going to read the statement in full and then we can talk about it. So, Bethesda and Game Reviews. Now, these are their words. At Bethesda, we value media reviews. We read them. We watch them. We try to learn from them when they offer critique, and we understand their value to our players. Earlier this year, we released Doom. We sent review copies to arrive a day before launch, which led to speculation about the quality of the game. Since then, Doom has emerged as a critical and commercial hit, and is now one of the highest-rated shooters of the past few years. With the upcoming launch of the Skyrim Special Edition, which is now launched, and Dishonored 2, we will continue our policy of sending media review copies one day before release, while we will continue to work with media, streamers, and YouTubers to support their coverage both before and after release. We want everyone, including those in the media, to experience our games at the same time. We also understand that some of you want to read reviews before you make your decision, and if that's the case, we encourage you to wait for your favorite reviewers to share their thoughts. Skyrim Special Edition releases globally on October 28th for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Dishonored 2 releases globally on November 11th for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. And that is the extent of their statement. So, there are a couple of things. Marcus, do you have...
That's such BS.
Marcus said a lot of faces during that reading.
It's a whole lot of BS.
The first line is, at Bethesda, we value reviews. And the rest of that statement is telling them, is them saying how they're going to disregard them from here on forward.
That's such BS.
And this came out a few days ago, and I've been thinking about more and more. And the more I think about it, like, the more upset about it I get. Because the more, like, senseless this all, like, sounds and reads. Like, they don't actually have any reason for doing
this. There's not a reason. They didn't even list one out.
No. So, like, the thing
that's not a, like, that's the definition.
We did it.
of a statement.
Yeah.
It's just, they just said.
So, some quick backstory. So, Doom, the classic game Doom, that probably everyone listening to this podcast knows, they re-released it just under the new name.
Probably
Doom.
Not everyone knows that.
I would almost guarantee you everyone has heard of the game Doom.
Yeah.
That's pretty ubiquitous.
Okay, yeah. I've but not
heard
the
of it.
Yeah, but,
you've heard of it.
But not the re-release.
No, not the re-release. Yeah. So early this year they re-released Doom, and it's a really good game. But they didn't give copies out prior to release. And I should just say, like, that's unusual.
Yeah.
Media outlets, whether it's, you know, big gaming sites like TopShelfGaming.net.
Mm-hmm. The biggest.
The biggest. Media sites, they usually receive reviews, you know, weeks ahead of time so that that outlet can spend time with the game, review it, and have a review and a score and an opinion prior to the game's release.
What you mean? So they receive, like pre-copies?
Yeah.
Like,
they get sent their copies.
Secret copies?
Ahead of time. Well, it's not secret, but...
Secret copies.
They get sent copies. So that they can play them and cover them and have reviews like you would do with movies and music and books and everything else. So when a game doesn't get, or when review copies of a game don't get sent out, it sends out a few flags because a lot of times, not every time, but a lot of times those games tend to not be as high a quality as the publishers are expecting them to be. And so, like movies that don't get screened, mm-hmm. they just won't do it and be like, whatever, it's a mystery. Hoping people will just buy the game anyways. So when Doom wasn't getting sent out earlier for review copies, people assumed Doom would be a bad game. It wasn't a bad game. It was actually a really good game. But it seems like they're using that as an excuse to just make a blanket statement. So here on forward, we're just not going to send out review copies. And there are a couple of reasons why not sending out review copies early is a terrible idea for the consumer. Marcus, tell me some of them.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to speak. I was just going to make numbers.
I can keep rambling. Yeah.
I was just going to be like, number one. and then I was going
to
give it to you.
All right, so here we go.
Number one.
The first reason is that a lot of people use reviews to make buying decisions. I mean, and for me, like, that's a huge, like, I look at reviews not to give me an opinion of my own, but to help me form mine. So sites like Giant Bomb and sites like GameSpot and IGN, at this point, they're fairly personality driven, Giant Bomb especially. And so I know the personality and the general video game opinions of whoever's reviewing that game. And so if, say, Brad Shoemaker is
so
reviewing
good.
A game, and he does something is so good, I'm probably, unless it's a MOBA, I'm probably going to also share that opinion.
Pancakes.
It's we've talked about MOBAs.
Pumpkin.
That doesn't mean I remember.
I know.
Did you just say ham cakes?
Ham cakes. For some reason, I thought my word was pancakes for a minute. So I was like, pumpkins.
You picked the word.
So MOBA it's a genre of games.
Mobile online boy arena. Where boys shoot each other.
You only got one wrong, right?
Boy game.
Multiplayer.
Multiplayer online.
Yeah. You said it before.
Boxing? That's what...
Battle.
Arena.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I got arena right?
Yeah. Oh, wow. It's a genre game. I don't care for it. But the point is, I and many other people use reviews to make purchase decisions. If I'm not sure about a game, I'm going to wait to see a review, and hopefully that review comes out prior to the game coming out. And so withholding that information doesn't allow me to build an opinion of that game and to help inform a decision. What they get to do is just control their message up until release. So they have full control over all their preview content, all their trailers, all of their partnership with the same media outlets they're now, you know, withholding review copies from, which is ridiculous. And so this comes down to them wanting to control the message up until release, hoping that people will just make their early purchases with pre-order incentives and bonuses. A lot of games now come with, pre-order this game before it comes out, give us your money early, and you'll get, an extra costume or like one or two extra levels. And most of the time, this stuff really doesn't have any impact on your actual gameplay experience.
Like, you could live without it, mm-hmm. and it's whatever.
It's like an extra.
But it's just enough of that care. It's like, oh, well, if you're, don't you want to have all of it? Don't you want to get it all? And so there's just heavy incentives to pre-order games. And so all that pressure on top of now, the only things you'll ever see about that game is what the publisher wants you to see. Like, that sucks. And it not only sucks, that doesn't happen in any other area, like any other media form. Movies get early screenings. Press get early reviews. They get opinions out. We're going to see a movie, we'll look and we'll say, oh, how's it doing? And we'll say, oh, if it's doing okay, well, we'll go see. If it's not, we'll wait till it's on Netflix. Books get reviewed early. Music gets reviewed early. Games traditionally have gotten reviewed early. And it's their right as a business to do whatever they want.
It's dumb.
But it's dumb. And what bothers me is that they're trying poorly, but they're trying to somehow frame this as a positive.
There's no positive. The thing is, okay, actually, Valerie, does this... Because obviously, I don't like this. But do you see this as an issue?
I would say yes, because I don't have a particular anecdote to like underline this point with. But for the few movies, we're like, I think in a couple movie reviews, they've stated that this movie was not out for the pre-release, and then just in that one review, I remember they stated how that was like Devin said, it's a red flag. It's like, well, why didn't they want us to see this? Like, what are they hiding? Yeah. What awfulness can't be reviewed upon before wide release?
And by the way, there's a word for all of this. It's called an embargo, for those of you guys who don't know.
Like me.
Yeah. Have you heard that term?
And like... In generalized terms, yes.
Have you heard
like,
it?
Like a shipping embargo.
Yeah. Have you heard it in relation to like media reviews and all of that stuff?
Less so.
Use the word.
Pumpkins.
Pumpkin. Okay. Pumpkins. So here, basically, an embargo is I am a game developer and you are Top Shelf Gaming. And I go to you, Valerie, and I'm like, hey... You can have my game early and free of charge.
Sweet.
But I want you to review it or make videos or cover it in some capacity.
Yeah.
But you can't give a review, you can't post it until this date.
Yeah.
So and you can, like, sit also on that content. You can't show these parts of this game yet, because we don't want that to be spoiled. So I set all of the terms in exchange of giving you a free copy, and then if you violate that, then I blacklist you, and then I never send you free stuff from that moment forward. But if you follow my terms, then you get a free game, then you get it early, you get to review it, make some money off of it, whatever, and it's a beneficial thing for both of us. So that's, for most media, like, that's basically how these exchanges happen, and that's, you know...
You scratch your back, I'll... Yeah. Wait, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
Yeah.
You scratch your back, and you'll itch less.
Yes. So, that's what an embargo is, more or less. And the issue with... So, the Bethesda thing brought up, like, I want to give... It said we want everyone to experience the game...
At the same time.
The issue with that logic... is that if I'm reaching out to press, I'm reaching out to YouTubers, I'm reaching out to streamers, I can still give them the game at the same time, whether it's one day before it comes out or whether it's 2 months, you know, like that doesn't...
Yeah.
Like, they can still...
All they're going to have is less time to make the content they're going to make.
Yeah. And the thing with embargoes is that it kind of... protects everyone from having to fight to get out that review first. Because if I'm a consumer and I'm trying to find, like, okay, I want to know if I want to get this game, you know, like, whichever review comes out first, like, that's going to get all of the traffic. But if all of them come out at the same time when the embargo lifts... then
free market.
Yeah.
You can choose where you go.
But if you get the game a day before, and a game like Skyrim, which is like potentially hundreds of hours of content, then how then do you cover that? And how do you make sure that you're getting that review out first? How do you make sure that if you do get it out first, you're actually covering... you're giving comprehensive thoughts. You know, it throws off everything. It's lame.
Yeah.
I mean, just to play, like, super devil's advocate.
Okay. Not the super devil.
The super devil. You've heard of the devil.
Have you heard of the super devil?
It does seem like, for all media, but since we're talking about video games here, video games as well, that there is... kind of an inundation of reviews. Like, I don't even... Dev is the one who actually, like, engages with all his review content, but even I, just by virtue of living in the same space as him, have probably heard, like, 4 different people review Watch Dogs. I've never played Watch Dogs, but I've heard all these reviews of Watch Dogs just, I mean, via all the podcasts or YouTube channels you watch about stuff like that. So maybe... I mean, I don't agree with Bethesda necessarily trying to, like, dodge their reviews, but... I mean, it kind of seems like... I get this way with, like, movies or stuff, too, or TV shows. Like, reviews are so hard on things, and stuff gets almost, like, pounded into the ground to the point where, like, sometimes after I read a review, I'm like, what's the point of even watching it? Even if it's something that I was a little bit excited about or I was, like, curious about maybe checking out. Like, that's why if there's a movie that I know I am interested in, I will avoid all reviews until I can see it for myself, because I don't want the nagging voices of the reviewers in the back of my head while I'm trying to enjoy something I paid $13 for.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, too, is that, I mean, there's some things, like, I don't want to look... I don't need reviews.
You're not checking the Zelda reviews before you buy it.
Yeah, like, I mean, I knew I was going to get Skyrim mm-hmm. as soon as they said that
it existed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like that was an automatic purchase.
Yeah.
And I feel like I only use reviews when it's a middling thing. If mm-hmm. I'm on the fence, if I'm like not sure.
Yeah.
But I think for most games or for most movies, I know immediately if I want to see it. Mm-hmm. Like, even with all the doubts about Suicide Squad,
mm-hmm.
I knew I wanted to see it. You know, there was like no way I wasn't going to, even like, if it was bad.
Whatever. You basically bought the ticket months ago. Yeah. You're like, I'm in.
Yeah. And so I feel, you know, like, most of my purchasing decisions are based off of just, like, knowing myself and knowing mm-hmm. knowing what I like and feeling confident.
So then, if, say, there are more people like you who basically, like, they don't put a ton of stock into reviews because they basically can be persuaded or dissuaded by their personal preferences, then what does it matter as much if there isn't enough time for these reviews to get out?
Well, it matters because the reviews are still going to come. They're just going to be a far lower quality because outlets still rely on reviews. The reviews are one of like the most like relied upon pieces of content that gaming sites and media sites probably like use, because new products come and people want to know about those products.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't, like, there are games that, you know, I'll know I want, but I still look to those reviews because I want to know what people think about it.
Yeah.
You know, it could have no bearing on my decision whether or not to buy it. But the problem is, because they're getting it a day early, people are still going to get the reviews. But now, like Marcus said earlier, it's just this race to get it out first. It's not to write the best one. It's not to actually spend time with it. And we're going to see people who play portions of the game as opposed to all of it, who sample a game instead of actually see all the different parts of an experience that a game offers. And the problem with that is that if Bethesda knows that, moving forward, as long as they put their best foot in the first third of the game, that's going to influence a review. And they can hide all the garbage and all the broken stuff towards the end, where it's less likely to be seen before a review comes out, and now they can hide what might be a lower quality game through a higher quality opening. Example would be Mafia.
Hmm.
That game is super strong. Once you get past the 2 or 3 hour mark, you find out what the game really is, and it's flat. And Mafia was an example of a game that didn't get early review copies. And so day one, when it comes out, everyone's playing those opening segments saying, oh my gosh, this is great. 2 or 3 days later, after all that hype has pulled people on board, people are like, oh, wait a minute, that's not what the game actually is.
And doesn't that already happen with, like, misleading advertising? With stuff that does do, you know, follow the rules for reviews and stuff?
Sure, but, and so the problem is that this compounds that.
Uh-huh.
Because this gives companies, Bethesda specifically, but any company who then follows suit, it gives them complete control to carry that forward all the way through up until release of a game. The second problem they didn't mention.
Number two.
So they mentioned they're going to send out review copies one day later to media outlets. So that would have been yesterday. I've been watching YouTubers play Skyrim Special Edition all week long because they got copies from Bethesda. And that's a huge problem because YouTubers, while YouTube content is getting much higher quality than it was, we have like actual legitimate professionals making YouTube content. We have a lot of people who aren't that, who haven't been trained, who don't know the ethics of media coverage, and you can joke about the ethics of game journalism all you want, but
sure you can. Pumpkins.
That's a whole other topic.
That'd four be, episodes yeah. we could spin yeah. up.
Put it on the shelf.
So, put it on the shelf.
So first of all, they're already going back against their statement. Bethesda said, you know, we're going to do this for Skyrim. People have this game.
I've been watching.
Yeah.
Like at least since last week of people like posting gameplay and actually doing live streams.
Doing recorded gameplay. And so the problem with YouTube, it's not with YouTube, it's bad because I don't want to discredit YouTube and YouTube content creators. It's more of an issue of publishers and companies taking advantage of those lower standards. Because there aren't YouTube laws that dictate how someone on YouTube has to conduct their videos. And so the contracts that companies will have YouTubers sign is different and can be more strict to the benefit of the publisher than they would be with the media outlet, who knows, like, no, they can't, like, no, we're not signing this. If you're a YouTuber just at your house trying to make a living getting your views, if a company comes and says, hey, we'll give you a game early, and now they can say, we're giving it to you before we're giving it to GameSpot. Like, that's huge. And if you don't know, like, how to follow, like, a stricter, like, journalistic ethical code, there's no reason for you not to be overly positive about this game if you want to then continue be giving that privilege.
Yeah.
And so if the only coverage you're going to see that's not coming directly from the publisher is these YouTubers and other online independent content creators who have less of an incentive to remain more objective, I say more, not completely, like, that's a huge problem. Because people put a lot of stock in YouTubers, whether or not they should or shouldn't, like, they do.
The thing is that, just kind of going into game journalism ethics, is that there's all these conspiracies about, you know, publishers paying for positive reviews.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, I strongly believe that any of the biggest sites are not accepting
money under the table.
Yeah. I really don't believe that, mm-hmm. that's going on. But YouTubers and typically younger creators who, like, don't have money. Who
they need the money under the table.
It's not their fault. Like, they're not doing anything. Yeah. Like, I don't think they're doing anything. Some probably are. I don't think a lot of them are doing anything, like, knowingly unethical. They just don't know.
Yeah.
They're being taken advantage of.
Yeah. I think it is more likely that that's happening. Not that I know.
Mm-hmm.
But it is more likely that the YouTubers would be accepting money for favorable critiques.
Or even just being willing to sign contracts. And this has been reported and reported on. Signing contracts that prevent them from giving negative feedback of a game.
Mm.
There was an issue last year. I don't want to get them, I'm probably going to get them wrong. But, like, Microsoft got in trouble because there were contracts going around that were saying that you can make content of this game, but you cannot be negatively critical of it.
I feel like I watched something.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it was satire or if this was legit.
Who can tell?
But it was someone reviewing a game positively,
mm-hmm.
but saying all of the bad things were good things. Like, oh,
the frame rate's super low, so you can take in every image.
Yeah, and just like stuff like that, and just like putting a positive spin on all of the, like, really, really bad things. And
pumpkins, why do video game people always talk about frame rate so much?
Because it can make a big difference. Frame rate,
rate of the frames.
Yeah. So the higher frame you have, the more animation you're seeing, and so the more information you have to then make decisions, and the quicker response you see from me pressing a button or moving a stick on a controller to it reflecting on screen.
She still looks confused.
But
basically, if like, you know, strobe lights?
Yes.
If a strobe light is, like, going really, really slow,
yeah.
and you're in a haunted house, then the, like, spooky episode. Guy,
yeah.
after each flash, is, like, getting closer faster. But if it's a faster strobe,
mm-hmm.
like, it looks like he's, you can see him starting to
chase me with his knife.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But if it's slower strobes, as in a slower frame rate,
yeah.
you have less time to, like, make those reactions and know what's coming. So.
Okay.
And you know, PC gaming, you know, so the main argument here a lot is between 30 frames and 60 frames. 30 frames is, like, the low standard. 60 frames is what you generally want.
That's like double, though. Well, yeah, it's like a lot. Or is it?
Well, I mean, it is literally doubled. And so, like, your eye can easily tell between 30 and 60. Yeah. If you see something running at 30, you can see something running at 60, but, oh, it's a difference. PC gaming, because PCs are more powerful, as to the machines, they can run way higher. At some point, you get diminishing returns.
Our eyes have its own frame rate.
Yeah.
And some of these PCs are going higher than
what our eyes can. It would just be lost on us. It's like as if they had colors that we can't see on the spectrum.
But there is this weird area where you yourself won't necessarily notice it, but your brain will. And that's a problem with VR is having, because with VR, games for you to like not get easily motion sick have to run about 90 frames a second. Otherwise, like, your brain will start, you know, you'll be more susceptible to get motion sickness. And so, like, it does make a difference. And you can definitely tell when you're playing a game and it drops frames. You drop from, you know, 60 down to 30, or from 30 down below that. And that's the problem with console games, is that even these new ones, a lot of games run at 30, and a lot of them still drop down below that. And you can tell. And it's part of it seeing, and part of it's feeling. You probably feel it more than you can actually really see it in some cases.
Yeah, that's true. And for some games, it matters more than others.
Yeah.
So for a first-person shooter,
mm-hmm.
it matters a lot because it's so twitch-based mm-hmm. and it's so precision-based.
Yeah.
For fighting games, it matters a whole ton because, like, frames are mm-hmm. like are your whole world.
Yeah. Know?
I know that if I do my soft punch, that's going to come out in 3 frames,
mm-hmm.
and if I do my hard punch, that'll come out in you know 7 frames. And so when I'm trying to make these like intricate punch, kick, jump combos,
mm-hmm.
I need to know all of those frames. And if it lags out, if it, like, you know, drops frames,
mm-hmm.
then that could throw off my whole match, and then I could lose. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it's
like someone put ball bearings on the fighting ring.
Yeah, it's
just gonna mess up your, like, whole situation. That
precise.
Yeah.
And other games, it doesn't matter, really.
Like, if you're playing, like, Life is Strange, frame rate probably wouldn't matter.
No. If you're playing, like, you know, Pokemon,
yeah.
and, like, Pokemon is turn-based.
Yeah.
So Pikachu shoots, and then, like, Bulbasaur does his leaf blower.
Yeah.
And, like, you don't need to have, because you're just watching it, you know. Mm-hmm.
But that being said, with Life is Strange, Life is Strange runs pretty poorly on 360.
Hmm.
So that runs at 30 ideally. Most time we've played Life is Strange, it's running mid-20s. Like, it doesn't run very smoothly. I just bought it again on PS4. I haven't even played it yet, but I'm interested to see how much more smoothly it runs. And you can just tell, like, it's not going to make you better or worse in the game, but the experience in you watching it, like, is improved by having a smoother frame rate.
Mm-hmm.
It's like watching YouTube videos at lower quality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like some, you're like, well, this, like, video is, like, still playing, and I'm still watching it, mm-hmm. but the experience could be lowered.
I want maximum frames available for my videos of the cat going in the box.
Yes.
Exactly. Right, and that's what it comes down to. It matters, not as much as some people will tell you, but it does matter.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell when it's lacking. But in going back in regards to us purchasing things, so, I put a lot of value in reviews, more than I would say Bethesda says they value reviews. They don't always inform my decisions, but oftentimes they do. And this is beyond games. If I hear a book is interesting, you know, the first thing I do is go scroll down the Amazon page to look at the reviews.
Heck, even if we buy, like, a standing fan on Amazon, you know we're going to read, like, 15 reviews.
I spent 2 weeks looking at the right, you know, low-end HDTV to buy. You know, like, We have like the low end like Samsung HDTV.
I reviewed mouse pads before I bought mine.
but I compare it to the low end Sony, to the low end Vizio, you know, and I end up with the Samsung. I kind of wish I'd gotten the Sony, but whatever.
Should have read more reviews.
You know, like reviews matter to me. Do they matter to you, Marcus?
Well,
for video games and other things.
I mean, like I said, it's only if I'm on the fence, you know. Otherwise, I know what I'm gonna go see. I know what I'm gonna go buy. I think.
So how often does that happen? How often are you on the fence?
Not very often. Like I don't. The thing is that. I mean, yeah, I'm really not very often on the fence.
It seems like it's kind of like when you're trying to find a restaurant to eat at. We all use Yelp.
Yeah.
We're all Yelpers.
We're all Yelpers here.
We're all Yelpers. So, like, Marcus, that's as if, like, you're in your neighborhood and you're like, I know where the good spots are.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to get my burritos. But, like, if you're in a location, if you're out of town, you're going to look up on Yelp, like, where's 4.5 stars? Where's a good spot to eat?
Yeah.
So maybe it's just... this situation would affect medium gamers a lot more than big gamers, like you guys.
Big league gamers?
Big league gamers.
Big gamers.
Because you guys know, are well, and, you know, you're invested enough to already have your preferences and know
maybe
what to follow, whereas, like,
I think
you're not easily swayed.
I also want to know, too, is just, like... I mean, you and I, and I mean, I'll be the first to admit this, have been making a lot of, like,
impulse purchases.
Yes. I bought two games last week, and I don't regret them at all, but, so, I budget hard. I have a Google spreadsheet, and I've, like, set in formulas,
mm-hmm.
and it's, like, all automatic, and
crunching numbers.
It's, like, it is this, like, really,
crunch,
like,
crunch.
You know, fancy thing. And I have a video game budget,
mm-hmm.
specifically,
mm-hmm.
every month. So I always set aside some money that I'm going to allocate to video games. Because I double-purchased loot boxes for Overwatch. I was immediately over because
mm-hmm.
I only set aside $30 this month
mm-hmm.
because I wasn't expecting to buy any video games.
Mm-hmm.
So last weekend, I like went over even more
mm-hmm.
because I...
Stakes were made.
Yeah, and I went on the Wii... I plugged in my Wii U
uh-huh.
for the first time in months. And I was flipping through the eShop like... Oh, I haven't been here in, like, months.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well see what's going on.
Yeah, like, I wasn't intending. I just wanted to see what they had.
You went window shopping.
And then I saw a couple games, and I was like...
Oh, we'll get that platformer severed.
Yeah. And then I got Super Mario RPG, but they were both on sale. You know, and so, I mean, for me, like, if a game's on sale, like... That kind of informs my purchases a whole lot.
I bought The Division a couple days ago, a game that literally on last week's show I said was underwhelming, and during the beta process me and Marcus already got bored out of it, but it was $14.
Yeah.
And lucky me, they released a big update for it, so it should be coming over the weekend, and, you know.
And you're $14.
Now I have The Division.
I mean, so it goes to show that then if you have, you know, a little bit extra scratch, then maybe
even if you don't,
then you'd be more willing to either negate or disregard.
But I'll tell you what, I saw it was on sale, and then I watched like 4 YouTube videos and reviews about the Division to like hype me up for it again.
But maybe that's the thing, is like maybe for those games that you're on the... fence on, like, reviews do matter, but if you were interested in
mm-hmm.
those games, and the reviews deterred you from it, mm-hmm. then if it's at that lower price,
yeah,
at that point, maybe we're just willing to be like, well, I'm not paying full price for it.
Yeah, you know? I mean, you've made the decision mentally before even watching those reviews.
Maybe about like one or two in, but not initially.
So you were still on the fence about it.
I think for me, what bothers me the most about this is not necessarily the review issue. I think the amount of control that Bethesda is demanding through this policy is what bothers me the most. You know, sites will figure out a contingency plan. You know, whether or not they just don't review Bethesda games from here on out, or they just make it very clear, like, okay, when the game comes out, we'll stream it. You know, and that's what a lot of us do anyways. But what bothers me is that what this is doing is it's giving Bethesda complete control over the messaging. And, you know, we all have design backgrounds, like, so we understand the power of a campaign.
Yeah.
We understand what that can do. And so on one hand, I can understand why they would want that. Like, you want to control your product. Like, I get that. But how do you get that message out? Through these media sites. And so they're asking these sites to, you know, host our videos, to come to our events, to push our game, to sell our game. But when it comes to you having an opinion on it, we're taking that from you.
Yeah.
We're withholding that right for you to have a say in it because all we want is our voice. And that bothers me because that it's blatantly anti-consumer. Like there's no excuse they can give, and I really look forward to hearing what they try to give. There's no excuse for it. Like, there's no way you can explain how that doesn't affect the consumer. Even if reviews don't matter to you, you're having an option taken from you.
Yeah.
And, well, you can say, oh, well, you're just entitled, you're not entitled to anything. Like, no, we're not, but, like...
You're not entitled, but you are used to it. And if you get something taken away that you're used to, even if you didn't deserve it in the first place, then it feels like a loss.
And, well, no, I mean, there's that, but, like, you can also make the excuse that, like, why should this company have complete and total control over their product in a space where that has never been the case? In any media, that's not what happens. And if your games are good, like the thing they did with Doom, like, oh, we held it back and our game was good, so that makes it better. Like, wouldn't you want everyone you possibly can have saying that as well and not just you? Like, yeah. Of course you're going to say your game is good. But if your game is actually good, get that in people's hands early so that they're also saying it's good. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And if this if that happened in music or books or movies, people would laugh at it. Because it's a laughable idea. If you want to sell you want someone to buy your product. But you're going to take away everyone's opinions but your own about it. Yeah. Yours that is objectively biased and untrustworthy.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make any sense.
I mean, not that they don't have their own credibility, but I mean...
No.
That's still...
But you can be as credible as Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not objective.
Sure.
So, I mean, that's where it comes down to. It's ridiculous. It's funny. Like, it'll be fine. Like, everyone's gonna be fine.
Yeah.
But, like, it's ridiculous. I'm done ranting. Any final thoughts as we wrap this up?
Your rant made me tired.
No,
that was very cathartic for me. It's been a long week.
I feel like you just ectoplasmed all your rant into me.
I think you about covered it.
Yeah, jeez Louise. Would you like to beat that dead horse anymore?
I could. Let's drag it out again. I'm ready to go.
It's a ghost horse now.
It might seem like one because in Bethesda games, horses can scale vertically on mountains. Yes.
You'd be surprised what horses are capable of. Well, I think with that, that's going to wrap up our episode 9. Again, if you have any questions, send them in. Trust Circle at topshelfgaming.net. Whether you spell circle with an S or a C, it'll come to us.
You can't spell it any other ways than that, because that's all the ways we thought of.
You spell like a D or an H or something, I don't know.
Circle with a K in the middle.
If you haven't subscribed to us on iTunes or Google Play
or Stitcher
soon
or to be SoundCloud.
Soon to be SoundCloud or on Audioboom, which is our
Audioboom. I'm a little lad who loves Audioboom.
And if you wouldn't mind, give us a rating on iTunes.
Give us a review.
Give us a review.
And you can do it early.
We don't care early. When you do it.
Although we're only giving them this chance as soon
there's
as
no they're embargo done. Here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But no, like reviews, they actually, you know.
We value them.
Here at TopShelfGaming.net, we value your reviews. No, we really do. Please give them to us. No, that's going to do it. We'll have some more guests coming up shortly. And we have some ideas and some plans, so we'll keep you in suspense.
We'll keep you guessing.
I'll let you know at time.
Halloween's over.
I hope you had a great Halloween.
I hope you're alive.
I hope your stomach is not hurting anymore from all those candies you ate. You shouldn't have eaten so many.
All those adults belly. Eating all that candy at their parties. out of red cups. candy.
Liquid candy.
Sweet candy.
Have fun, be safe, and we'll talk to you next week.